Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you're listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We appreciate you listening in today, and we always take just a moment to let you know about Mount Lebanon Baptist Church and where we're located in our service times. We are 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. That is from the Fosco side. If you know where the Willow Creek Golf Course is, a little vacation community there. We are just above that on the right-hand side of the road. Our Sunday services begin at 10 a.m. We have Sunday school for all ages. We have our Sunday morning worship service at 11. We have our Wednesday night prayer meeting and Bible study every Wednesday night at 7 p.m., and then there's other opportunities as well. We have a busy summer planned. We have a lot coming up. Vacation Bible School is coming up soon. That's going to begin Sunday night, June the 11th, and it will go Friday through Friday, June the 16th. I cannot believe it's that time of the year already. This has just come up, every day is the same, you know, there's 24 hours in every day, but it just seems like time is just moving so fast. We have a lot. We have the Tri-City Music Camp coming up in the last 2 weeks in July. And then in August, we have the fall semester of the Victory Bible Institute that starts on August the 10th. And so if you're interested in music, if you're interested in furthering your Bible education, we have that opportunity with Victory Bible Institute, vbcministries.org. You can find out lots of information there, everything you need to know about signing up and class times and all of those things. And then Vacation Bible School is the very next thing. But it's good to be here today and good to see Noah. We've had a good time fellowshipping, waiting for the radio to start. And it's good to see you today.
Good to be here. Always glad to be here today, and we do want to say welcome to those who are listening in, those who listen in right here on AM 1450 WATA and 96.5 out of Boone, North Carolina, our listeners on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, and those on 89.1 FM The Truth out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all the radio stations, the opportunity that we have to be on the different ones. Hope everybody had a great Memorial Day. We had a great weekend, a lot of good times, good fellowship, good service at church on Sunday morning, Sunday night. So we are thankful for that and what Memorial Day stands for. And really, this whole month, we have been focused on a subject leading up to Memorial Day. We started talking about the subject of war. And this is actually the third week we're on the subject. And when we think about war as a necessity on behalf of freedom, maybe you over Memorial Day, you may have saw on social media, or maybe you would have heard somebody say, freedom is not free. And so we appreciate our freedoms that we have. We appreciate our country. We're thankful for our blessings of liberty. But you know, when you really think about it, none of it would be possible if there were not the fact of war. And so there's the bad side. And yes, it is bad. And I wish there was no war. And of course, we can look forward to that day promised in the Bible, where there will be no more war. But until then, war is a fact of life. And although it's bad, and it has many repercussions when you think about a nation going to war, but there is a bright side, I guess, and it sort of seems odd to even say that. But the bright side is our freedoms and what is gained through war sometimes. And so that's a little odd subject, but that's what we've been looking at and thinking a great deal about, the necessity of war on behalf of freedom. And I've been spending, and I don't have a lot of spare time. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, "You read a lot?" And I said, "Not as much as I used to." And every time when I do read, it is in preparation of something. I'm preparing to preach. I'm preparing for the radio broadcast and preparing material there. But I have been trying to learn all I could on the subject of World War One, the Great War, the War of 1914 to 1918. And this year, and well, actually it's been going on since 2014, but there's the 100-year anniversary of the Great War. And I've sort of been trying to take a crash course on that. And honestly, I really didn't know that much about it. And I've learned so much, and I'm going to try to share some of those things. Here's some of the things I've learned so far. When you go to studying about war, or really anything, the winners of war write the history. And so you're going to get a viewpoint from those who have won the war, for the most part. That's what you hear. That's what you know. World War One is something that we don't talk about, think about very much. It's just always eclipsed by the Second World War. And we know more about that. There are surviving veterans. World War II is sometimes referred to as the moral war, the good war. And it's just always overshadows the First World War. But the winners of war write the history. I've thought a whole lot about this. Our founders, this is the second thing I've learned, the founders of this nation were far smarter. They had a lot more wisdom than we even realize. I mean, on all kinds of subjects, and we deal with that quite often here on the Blessings of Liberty, but they're smarter than we give them credit for. Our first foreign policy, as far as dealing with other nations in this country, the way our founders, the way George Washington desired for it to be, was friends with all, entangling alliances with none. So their first foreign policy dealing with other nations, we're going to try to be friends with all, but have entangling alliances with nobody. And I've covered this before, and one of the arguments for independence in this country, and this was made a few, several months ago now, I went through the little book Common Sense by Thomas Paine, and he made the argument in that book, and this was previous to the Declaration of Independence and the American Revolutionary War. And one of the arguments he made for our country separating from Britain was Britain's continued wars, and that we in America would eventually be drawn into, whether we wanted to or not, we would continually be drawn into their wars. And so Britain was an empire. They were heavily colonizing, going into other countries and placing colonies there. And that's why in a lot of places in the world, the islands, New Zealand, Africa, South Africa, or South Australia, places like that, why they have a British accent, because of the British colonies, and Britain was expanding their empire, and they were continually in a state of war. And our founders said, if we do not separate from Britain, we're going to continually be embroiled in these European wars. And war in Europe has been a fact of life for the past 2,000 years. I mean, it's been one war right after the other. So our early forefathers, they said, you know, we need to get out of that. Here's a great opportunity to separate ourselves from continual European warfare. And so that was one of the reasons they wanted to separate, or one of the arguments they gave to separate from Britain, which is exactly what World War One was. It was a a continued war. It was a European war. And of course, we got dragged back into it, or we went into it. We made alliances and all kinds of these things. And then you have World War II. And World War I really shaped the way the world is today. Well, that's something that I've learned and thought about. Here's something else. You only think you know something until you study it out. And then when you begin to study and you begin to read different authors, you think you have an idea, you know, how did World War I start? What was the reason behind it? And you have an idea and you read somebody and you say, boy, I didn't know that. And then you change your mind a little bit, or you look at it from a different viewpoint. Then you read somebody else and you say, boy, I didn't know that. And so that changes things a little bit. And boy, studying will really open your eyes, and it will make you see things in a way that you just thought you knew what the real story was. I love studying history, and I think there are so many great lessons from it if only we would listen. I'm reading a book. It's called The Real War, 1914-1918, and the subtitle is The Short History of the First World War by its foremost historian and military tactician, and is by an American gentleman. His name is Captain B.H. Little Hart, and of course he's deceased now. This was written, copyrighted in 1930. But sometimes you'll read a book and you don't really get a lot out of it, but you might get one or two thoughts. You might learn one thing that makes it worth reading the whole book. And he talks about in this book the historian's rightful task. What is a historian trying to do? Somebody writes and teaches about history. He said he would be a rash optimist if he believed, talking about the historian, he would be a rash optimist if he believed that the next generation would trouble to absorb the warning. And what he was talking about there is that he said, he doesn't expect or even believe that the next generation is going to line up and take in all of the lessons learned so that history doesn't repeat itself. The very fact that history does repeat itself is because people don't listen. They don't pay any attention. History continually repeats itself over and over and over again. People don't listen. He said, I understand that, but here's what made reading the book worth it. He said, history at least teaches the historian a lesson. And so if you will be a student of history, you will be the one that will learn the history. And you will look around and look at what's going on in the world and say, why aren't people paying attention? Why are we doing this same stuff over and over again? But the historian, there's a lesson for him in that, how true that is. And so there's a lot of things we can learn by studying history. But here's the one thing that we need to always remember. No matter who you read, who you study, or who you listen to, there's really only one source that you can trust. And that one source that you can always trust is the Bible, God's Word. Psalms 119:105 said, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Jesus said in John 17:17, Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. And so when you read history, you may not be reading the truth. You've probably all heard of a revisionist history. And so revisionist history is this. The historian writes about history, but he puts it in a frame to suit his viewpoint. And so he revises, maybe he leaves out a few things, maybe he embellishes some other things. But this is why that even today people are still arguing over the Civil War. You know, Abraham Lincoln's war. Or was it the War of Northern Aggression? Was it over freeing the slaves? Or was it over states' rights? People will still argue about those things today. Well, it depends on who you're listening to, who you're reading after, who taught you your history, what you will believe about these things. And there's truths across all of what I just said. But historians revise history. You know, they put it in a certain frame so that when you read it, you get a certain, you learn certain lessons from that. So you can't always trust everybody that you read after. People argue over the Civil War, the War of Northern Aggression, World War I. I've read all kinds of things, and there's all kinds of blame out there. Who started World War I? Well, the general consensus is that it was Germany. And then others will say it was Austria-Hungary Empire. Others say it's Russia's fault. Others say Britain. And so you get all these different thoughts. World War II, Vietnam, today in the Middle East. Do you know how far the history of the Middle East goes back? The Bible has a great deal to say about war. And we started this study in Genesis chapter number 14. And in Genesis chapter number 14, what did we find? Those kings that had went to war against each other. There's 30 kings over there, and they had went to war against each other, and the king of Sodom was involved. And do you know that was war going on in the Middle East all the way back in Abraham's time? And the only reason that we learn about it is how those nations affected Abraham and Lot. And so the Bible has a great deal to say about war. Like it or not, war is a fact of life. It will never go away. The Great War, World War I, they said this is the war to end all wars. Well, it did not. And it wasn't too many years after that, there was a Second World War. And since then, there's been all kinds of war. Maybe not world, but there's been just in our country, Korea and Vietnam and the Middle East. And we've been involved in the Middle East fighting over there longer than the war in Vietnam was. And it's just on and on and on, over and over and over. The Bible has a great deal to say about war. It is a fact of life, like it or not. The Bible has a great deal to say about nations, the different nations of the world. Now, the Bible is not a history book, but where it speaks on history, it is correct. And what I mean by that, it not being a history book, it's not a history book of all the nations of the world. For example, in history, you study about ancient civilizations. Well, you have China, you have Asia, you have some major civilizations over there. China has a very rich and varied history that goes back thousands of years. But the history of China does not come into the picture that we find in the Bible. The children of the East are mentioned. That's about all you get. And I believe that Solomon, he traded with people in Asia, people in China, but that they did not interact any more than trading. You don't find the history of the dynasties and all the rich history of China. You just don't find it in the Bible. What you do find in the Bible, you find nations in the Bible that come in contact with the nation of Israel. The Bible is a history of the nation of Israel. And as other nations come in contact with them, just like in Genesis chapter number 14, the first time the word war is mentioned in the Bible, these Middle Eastern ancient nations were fighting, and their fighting touched Abraham, who God made a covenant with, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. And as these kings touched the family of Abraham, which is where the nation of Israel comes from, we learn about how that affected Abraham and Lot. And Lot went out to war, and he rescued Lot and brought him back. And that's what you find in Genesis chapter number 14. We're studying on Wednesday night in the book of Judges. And in the book of Judges, you learn about a lot of different nations. The Moabites, the Edomites, the Amalekites, the Philistines. On and on you could go in the book of Judges. There's a lot of nations that are mentioned over there. But really, the main concern is how it affects Israel, the children of Israel, the nation of Israel. The book of Daniel tells about the fall of Babylon. Daniel is a prophetic book. And so it tells about the fall of Babylon, that Nebuchadnezzar, the great tree is going to be cut down, and he is. And so you have the civilization of Babylon, and then you have the Medes and the Persians, and then from that you have the Greeks, and you have the Roman Empire, and all of that is covered in the book of Daniel. And then you have the revived Roman Empire. Daniel sees that the Roman Empire will fall, but it will be resurrected. Well, that Roman Empire is just the European nations. All of that is important as it affects the nation of Israel. So what I'm saying in all of this, and we're still talking about war and World War I, but as you study history, who do you believe? Who is right? Sometimes we may never get the clear picture. I mean, all the people that fought in World War I, all the politicians that were involved in World War I, they are all dead now. So all we can do is look back, and we have facts and figures and stories, and this person says this, and, well, this one has a different perspective over here. So who do we believe, and what do we think? What do we think about World War I? Certainly, we ought to remember and all the sacrifices, and I'm not belittling any of those things. But when it comes to world history, how do we view it? How do we know we're getting the right perspective? Or are we just getting an American viewpoint, or a British viewpoint, or a French, or a German, or a Russian viewpoint? You see, all these nations involved, they had their own viewpoint and their own reasons. If you lived in another country, you may view World War I totally different than somebody that lives in America. So how do we study history? How do we know what's really true? As we study history, as we study nations, as we study wars, God's compass or God's timepiece is not Russia. It's not America. It's not World War I or the League of Nations, which was a result of World War I, which was a preview to the United Nations. The United Nations is not God's time calendar. Syria, Iraq, Iran, all of these, God's timepiece or God's compass, which points us in the truthful direction, is the nation of Israel. And so we find history, we find prophecy, we find the nation of Israel every day in the news. Little old Israel, surrounded by all those Arab, all those Muslim nations. And just as far as pure square miles, Israel is a dot compared to some of the other nations of the world. But Israel is at the forefront. Israel is always in the news. What goes on in Israel? Who cares if the president goes to Israel and visits the Wailing Wall there? Well, the whole world does. The whole world is following these things. Why? Because of the prophetic importance of Israel. We cannot get away from that. And so God's compass is the nation of Israel. So when we study history, we not only look at what the generals said and what the leaders said and the soldiers' stories and all of those things. But think about this. How did these things influence and affect the nation of Israel? Now, I want to very quickly, and this is really just a thought for us to think about. World War I was brought about by those nations that make up the revived Roman Empire. Rome fell. But all these nations, little by little, here and there, they've come back to prominence. Russia, Germany. You know, in the Bible, in the book of Ezekiel, it talks about Gog and Magog. And most Bible scholars believe that's a reference to Germany and Russia and that area of the world. You have Britain, part of the Roman Empire. You have Austria-Hungary. You have France. You have all these European nations. That is the revived Roman Empire. So in a nutshell, and this is being very general on some things because there's a lot of history there, but if you study about the causes of World War I and then the end of World War I, and they had the Treaty of Versailles, And most historians say the Treaty of Versailles and the way Germany was punished because of their part in the First World War directly contributed to the rise of the Nazis and Adolf Hitler. That because of the reparations that Germany was supposed to make and they were supposed to pay back and it crushed their economy, that that caused Germany to view themselves as, hey, you know, the whole world is against us. We need a strong leader to come along and that will look after and rescue us from the... And so they say the cause of World War II was World War One. And so you study about World War leading into World War II, and you have Hitler and the Nazis and the Holocaust and all that. Now, where's the nation of Israel in all of this? The nation of Israel in all of this, they are scattered. They are persecuted. They do not have a home anywhere in the whole wide world. They've been scattered since A.D. 64. And the fall of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was overrun by the Romans, the Roman Empire, and the temple was destroyed. And the Jewish people are scattered. They're scattered all across the world. Think about this. Of all the different nations that have come and gone, the nation of Israel has remained a unique identity, even though they've been spread among all the different nations of the world. And all down through history, you could go to Italy, you could go to Russia, you could go to Poland, anywhere, any of these countries, and you could find little pockets of Jewish people. And they never lost their identity. They never lost their religion. They never lost their language. They never lost their writings. All of these things, even though they were scattered, and that's called the diaspora, and they were scattered, but yet they were intact. And so World War One, they cannot find a home. They're scattered. They're persecuted. World War Two, they're definitely being persecuted, rounded up, being slaughtered by Hitler and the Nazis. And but God, in His Word, promised that even though the Jewish people would be scattered, that He would bring them back together. And there's many verses we could go to talk about this. Isaiah 11, verse number 2, "And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcast of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah." That's where the word diaspora comes from. The Jews were dispersed, scattered throughout all the nations of the world. But God promised to gather them, gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. So God in His Word promised that although they were scattered, that the Lord would bring them back together from the four corners of the earth. That's north, south, east, west, from everywhere among all the nations. God said He would bring them back together. And so we have World War One leads to World War Two, and the events of World War Two with Hitler, the Nazis, the Holocaust, these events directly affect the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, the beginning of Zionism. Now, Zionism is just simply this, the desire for the Jews to have a home in their homeland. That's the beginning of Zionism. And it wasn't just Jewish people, but you had Americans, you had British that got on board and they said, you know, the Jews need a homeland. And so after World War II, the nation of Israel is declared 14th of May, 1948. Immediately, war is declared by all the surrounding nations, Egypt, Syria, Iraq, Iran, Transjordan. The Jews fought, they won, they remain until this day, and war was necessary for them to be free. And the Jews came together and fought with a fervor that they otherwise would not have fought with, because their battle cry as a nation was never again. Why do we need a nation, they said? Because the Holocaust can never happen again. War brought about their freedom. And so just some things to think about when we think about our freedoms and what it cost to be free. Well, we appreciate you listening. Noah's going to come give the contact information.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. It's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.